From Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 12, The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. We're starting with text 174. So I'll read the English translations. Swarup, and stop for the purports. Swarup Damodar Goswami then said, just take a little of this Mahaprasad and see how it is that Lord Jagannath has accepted it. So they're offering prasadam to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and yeah, he wants to be a little austere, so they're just telling him, just take a little bit. Just take a little bit to see how Lord Jagannath has tasted it. Upon saying this, Swarup Damodar Goswami placed some food before the Lord, and the Lord, out of affection, ate it. So, all right, I have some affection for Swarup Damodar. He's offering me this, so let me take a little bit. Swarup Damodar and Jagadananda again and again offered the Lord some food. Thus they behaved affectionately with the Lord. This was very, very uncommon. The Lord made Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sit on his left side. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw the behavior of Swarup Damodar and Jagadananda, he smiled. It's an amazing scene. The Supreme Personality of Godhead behaving like this with his devotees. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to offer Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first-class food. Therefore, out of affection, he had the servers put first-class food on his plate again and again. Gopinath Acharya also brought first-class food and offered it to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya while speaking sweet words. After serving the Bhattacharya with first-class prasadam, Gopinath Acharya said, just consider what Bhattacharya's previous mundane behavior was. Just consider how at present he is enjoying transcendental bliss. Purport. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was previously a smarta brahmana, that is, one who strictly follows the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. On the mundane platform, one cannot believe that prasadam is transcendental, that Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. These transcendental considerations are out of the ordinary Vedic scholar's jurisdiction. Most Vedic scholars are called Vedantists. These so-called followers of Vedanta philosophy consider the absolute truth to be impersonal. They also believe that a person born in a particular caste cannot change his caste until he dies and takes rebirth. The smarta brahmanas also reject the fact that mahaprasadam, food offered to the deity, is transcendental and materially uncontaminated. Originally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was subjected to all the rules and regulations of the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. Now, Gopinath Acharya pointed out how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been converted by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being converted, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya partook of prasadam with the Vaishnavas. Indeed, he sat by the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the power of Lord Chaitanya, his devotees, Lord Chaitanya's movement, that it can convert, that Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, he can convert these very strict followers of the Vedanta principles on the mundane platform into ecstatic devotees of the Lord who can relish the transcendental Mahaprasadam of the deity. So the mundane Vedic scholars, they cannot appreciate these things. But there he was, sitting very happily beside Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, smiling, watching how the devotees were serving Lord Chaitanya Prasadam. They were also serving him Prasadam, first class Prasadam, which he was taking with great relish. So we have also experienced this transformation in our lives. I know when I first encountered Prasadam at a Rath Yatra festival, it didn't seem very special in any way to me. You know, there's so many foods. Here's some more food on a paper plate. But as I took up the process of devotional service under the guidance of the current representatives of Lord Chaitanya, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and gradually became a little bit purified, then I could appreciate, yes, indeed, this is something transcendental. There is something transcendental, especially to the Mahaprasadam of the Lord. Next verse. Sarvabhama Bhattacharya replied to Gopinathacharya, "I was simply a less intelligent logician, but by your grace, I have received this opulence of perfection." But for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhama Bhattacharya continued, "who is so merciful? He has converted a crow into a Garuda. Who could be so merciful?" So now this time of year, you know, if you walk around the neighborhood, you see many crows. I mean, the actual birds. You know, when I go on my japa walk in the morning, you know, there's so many crows. They're not nice, very nice birds. They eat any dirty thing, and they have this very unmelodious kind of noise that they make that nobody really likes to hear. You know, something like that. Forgetting. But now, so he was saying it was like a crow. And actually we see these crows in India too. Pretty much the same. Of course here they're very sleek and fat, these crows here in America. But he said, no, he's been converted from a crow into a Garuda, which is a different kind of bird altogether. So he continues, "in the association of jackals, known as logicians, I simply continued to bark a resounding, pew, pew. Now, from the same mouth, I am chanting the holy names Krishna and Hari." Of course, now, sometimes we see in our movement the tendency, they want to leave the association of the devotees who are chanting Hari and Krishna, and they want to join the assembly of jackals to chant, Bhyo, Bhyo. But Sarvabhama Bhattacharya is an example of someone, yes, he was very exalted in terms of the estimation of mundane society, in terms of being a very elevated scholar. But after he became a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he understood what the real situation was. He looked back at his former association, which at the time he considered to be very elevated. And he could see it now as the association of jackals making very ugly noises. Whereas I once associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the association of devotees. Purport. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains, the word bahir mukha, so if we go back to the Bengali here, we see this word bahir mukha, kahan bahir mukha, tarkika shishyagana sange, kahan e sanga sudha samudra tarange. So this word bahir mukha occurs in the verse. So, back to the purport. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains, the word bahir mukha refers to a person who is very busy tasting material enjoyment. Such a person always poses himself as an enjoyer of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being attracted to external opulence, the non-devotee always forgets his intimate relationship with Krishna. Notice he says he forgets it. And that means the intimate relationship with Krishna is always there in the heart, but out of obstinance and attraction to the external energy, some people forget it. Such a person does not like the idea of becoming Krishna conscious. This is explained by Srila Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Texts 30 and 31. Materna Krishne paratosvatova mitovipadyeta grihavratanam adantagovir vishitam tamishram punapunascharvita charvananam natevidu svarka dikim hi vishnum durashya ye bahirarti manina andayatandayar paniya manas te pishatantriyam udamni badha. Materialists who are overly attracted to the material body, material world, and material enjoyment, who cannot control their material senses, are carried into the darkest regions of material existence. Such people cannot become Krishna conscious, either by themselves or by congregational effort. Such people do not understand that the goal of life for a human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. A human life is especially meant for this purpose, and one has to go through all kinds of penances and austerities and set aside the propensity for sense gratification. Materialists always remain blind because they are guided by blind rascals. I wonder who they might be. I think he's referring to the leaders of the materialistic society. Materialistic philosophers, materialistic scientists, materialistic religionists, there are such, and religionists, even yogis, can be like that, political leaders. So a materialistic person considers himself free to act as he likes. And this is a very strong tendency. Yes, we are free thinkers. We are free. We can think anything. We can do anything. What are all these restrictions, this institution, rules and regulations? we're beyond all that. We are free thinkers, free actors. This is the tendency of the materialist. He does not know that he is rigidly controlled by the stringent laws of nature, nor does he know that he has to transmigrate from one body to another and perpetually rot in material existence. Such rascals and foolish people are lured by the prayers of their foolish leaders for sense gratification, and they cannot understand what is meant by Krishna consciousness. The material world exists outside the spiritual sky, and a foolish materialist cannot estimate the extent of the material sky. What then can he know of the spiritual sky? This is reference here to the materialistic scientists who think that this world is a closed system operating according to material laws with no God or soul necessary. So, but even then, they can't even understand this material reality. So what to speak of the spiritual reality? So, what then can he know of the spiritual sky? Materialists simply believe their imperfect senses and do not take instructions from the revealed scriptures. They consider that just simply mythology. According to Vedic civilization, one has to see through the authority of the revealed scriptures. This is something that today the mundane scholars, scientists, and philosophers absolutely refuse to do. They say, we will, whatever, we will not do this. But that is the only way to the absolute truth, the only way to the perfection of life. Shastra Chakshush. One should see everything through the medium of the Vedic literature. In this way, one can distinguish between the spiritual world and material world. Those who ignore such instructions cannot be convinced of the existence of the spiritual world. Because they have forgotten their spiritual identity, such materialists take this material world as the all in all. They are therefore called Bahirmukha. Krishna Bahirmukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatashta Mayatari Japatiyatari. If you turn from Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukha, you turn away from Krishna, then what do you see? You see the material energy because she is standing there right behind Krishna. So you turn from Krishna, Maya is there to capture you and give you trouble. And why? Hopefully to convince you to turn back to Krishna after so much material frustration and suffering. So continuing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, from your previous birth you have been in Krishna consciousness. Thus you love Krishna so much that simply by your association we are all developing in Krishna consciousness. So this is Lord Chaitanya being very merciful to his devotee, demonstrating some Vaishnava humility there. He's encouraging Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to continue on the path of Krishna consciousness. So, continuing, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, thus there is no one within these three worlds, save for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always so willing to increase the glories of the devotees and give them satisfaction. Purport. In this regard, one should consult the discussion between Kapila Dev and Devahuti on the subject matter of devotional service. This is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. So the principle of devotional service is ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So if one surrenders completely to Krishna in pure devotional service, then the Lord becomes subordinate to his devotee. He wants to magnify the glories of the devotee and serve the devotee. So we can see an example right here. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has properly situated himself in devotional service, the Lord here is praising him. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is a very special incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Lord Krishna appearing as the perfect devotee of Krishna. So he's showing by his example, you know, how a perfect devotee of Krishna behaves, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He's praising Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in this way. Yes, by your influence, we are all becoming, you know, Krishna conscious. And then he's calling his servants. Yes, you give him first class. You sit here by me. Yes, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you sit here next to me. And yes, Swarup Damodar, Jagadananda, give him first-class prasadam. So this is the astonishing example of Lord Chaitanya himself. So it must have been very amazing to be a witness, personal witness to these pastimes. Continuing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took all the remnants of food offered to Jagannath, such as cakes and sweet rice, and distributed them to all the other devotees, calling them individually. Sri Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu sat side by side, and when the prasadam was being distributed, they engaged in a type of mock fighting. So now another rasa. First, Advaitacharya said, I am sitting in line with an unknown mendicant, and because I am eating with him, I do not know what kind of destination is awaiting me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order of life. Consequently, he does not recognize discrepancies. As a matter of fact, a sannyasi is not affected by eating food from anywhere and anywhere. According to the shastras, there's no discrepancy in a sannyasi's eating at another house. But for a householder Brahmin, this kind of eating is faulty. It is not proper for householders to dine with those whose previous birth, family, character, and behavior are unknown. So he's saying, yeah, it may be all right for Lord Chaitanya. He's a sannyasi to sit with all kinds of people, but I'm a householder Brahmin. So how can I sit next to this avaduta? Nityananda. Yeah, this is not right. So, Nityananda Prabhu immediately refuted Sri Advaitacharya, saying, you are a teacher of impersonal monism, and the monistic conclusion is a great hindrance to progressive, pure, devotional service. Well, there's a long purport here, so I think I'm going to break here, and maybe whoever's reading next can start with text 193. Lord Nityananda's reply to this joking mock argumentative statement by Advaita Acharya. These are really amazing pastimes. That's why it said this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study in devotional service, because in here we learn very many intricate details about the behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his devotees and associates. And we are in the line coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so this is all very interesting to us. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes? So the question is, what is first class Mahaprasada? Ultimately, it means prasada that has been prepared in a very expert way that is very pleasing to the deity, very pleasing to Krishna, the deity. The ultimate example would be Srimati Radharani's cooking, for Krishna. There are accounts of that in different Vaishnava literatures, including, Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures, that her cooking was very, very expert, and it was offered with such love and devotion to Krishna that it was very, very pleasing to him. So when devotees get a chance to taste remnants of such prasadam prepared by a very expert and devoted cook, that's been properly offered to the deity, and as the deity is very pleased with it, it becomes first class Mahaprasadam. Prepared with pure devotion, very expertly, offered with pure devotion, and accepted by Krishna fully with great ecstasy. That is just my small attempt to answer your question. Does anybody else have any thought about what it means for something to be first class Mahaprasadam? Archita.
As usual, your reply is expert. But we have so many examples of the offering seeming not to be first class, but devotion being first class, and therefore it's acceptable. We just heard recently about the exchange between Sanatana Goswami and Madan Mohan. Sanatana Goswami was an old man, and he was making these, my understanding, it wasn't even really chapatis. It's something called bada, where you just take the
balls.
Wheat. Yeah, you take the wheat, you add some water, you roll it into a ball, and you put it in the fire for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And it's considered cooked. So he was offering that, and the deity actually complained out of love that, can't you at least give me a little salt? And he said, well, I'm an old man. Today you'll want salt. Prabhupada told the story once. He said, Sanatana said, today you'll want salt, tomorrow you'll want something else. I'm an old man. Please just accept what I give you. And Prabhupada said, because of Sanatana Goswami's love, he was bound to accept. So We have an incident in our own line here in Mayapur once, in the early days, early 70s. Devotees went to Prabhupada to complain that the prasadam that was being made was inedible. It was not good. And so the whole matter came to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada, he said to the site that was complaining that if you were actually seeing this as prasadam, you would not complain. And then to the other side, he made the famous statement that when you cook, you should cook in such a way that even if somebody's not hungry, they'll eat it. Not that that they're hungry and they can't eat it. So both things have to be there. That you have to have the vision that if something has been offered to the Lord, that you see this prasadam and you don't complain about it. That I like this, I don't like that, this and that. But on the other hand, those who are cooking should cook in such a way that even if somebody's not hungry, they will eat it because it's so wonderful. Not that if they're hungry, they can't eat it because it's so bad.
Does anybody have any comment on that point? So thus.
Well, you know, this thing. Is it even on?
It's on.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is an ongoing thing about what first-class prasadam is. I think that my experiences with that would be with Palika Dasi, who cooked directly for Srila Prabhupada. And she was in Denver for a couple of years. And she, taught Tadit, my wife, how to cook, what Prabhupada used to like to take, prasadam. And it seemed like first-class prasadam was not speculating. You know, sometimes we speculate. We think all we have to do is take some broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, and throw a bunch of sour cream in it, and we just kind of whip it together. But really, Srila Prabhupada enjoyed taking prasadam in a certain way. You know, hot chapatis, things of that nature. Now, you know, everybody would love to take prasadam that way. But, you know, in our society today, we very rarely have even, you know, cooks that can cook a small quantity on that level, what to speak of a large quantity. You know, cooking for 50 people, or 300, or 400, or 500. And, you know, I've heard that sometimes devotees won't even take the Sunday feast because they think it's last class. And if they had to cook for 500 people, what would it turn out to be? So even if you go to India today and you have the festival, it's not devotees cooking that prasadam. They hire Brahmins that come and cook that, because very rarely can anyone cook that quantity. So my point is that there has to be a practical solution to this. It's got to be practical. Not that we think, oh, this is last class, this is first class, but as Archit Prabhu is saying, that we should see it as prasadam, and that the cook should see it in that perspective also, to do their best and not speculate, but do things according to recipes, which there's tons of. Like, for instance, there's Kurma's cookbook. Those are not speculative. Those are actually very first-class recipes. And the last thing I'd like to say is that I've read where Prabhupada said that we should never throw prasadam away, which means that if there's any leftovers, Prabhupada said we should serve them the next day. And I see that in our society, if you try to serve out even right within this temple, we've had senior devotees. When we try to serve out something left over from the previous day, they'll say, that's last class. And it puts everybody on the mental platform. Whereas Prabhupada's instruction is, if there's any leftover prasadam, serve it the next day. And the devotee should eat it. Because prasadam never, you know, it's prasadam offered to the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're over time now. So, Savas has the last word. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.